As we have come in our study of Luke, remember our foundations where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we have to believe that. That's the foundation, isn't it? And Jesus said his Father's will is that everyone believe in him. And he will raise us up on the last day. That song that I had on the earlier part, I Don't Belong. I like that song. Because in this world, we really don't belong, do we? And that's what that psalm was saying that you read. But God has a home for us. And I can't imagine what that's going to be. I know that it's getting closer and closer. For some of us, anyway, but it's just beyond anything we can imagine. Anyway, we looked last week at discipleship in Luke 14. And crowds were with him. He said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now, that was a pretty strong statement, wasn't it? The cost of discipleship is everything. Sometimes we don't understand that. But we need to be willing to give up everything and make Christ our priority. And that's what it means to be a disciple. So we pray for those that believe that they'll be true disciples. And you have to believe in Jesus, otherwise it's not going to work. And so there is a cost. There is a cost for discipleship. And then we see in verses 33 through 35, he said, in the same way, those of you who do not give up everything that you have cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is neither fit for the soil nor for the manure pile. It's thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. That's kind of an interesting conclusion for what Jesus is saying. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. That was his accusation continually for Israel. Even back in David's day, back in the time of Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah, the problem that Israel had is that they heard the word, but they didn't follow it. That's the difference between hearing and listening. We want to be listeners. Listeners know how to behave. Hearers hear the words, but it means nothing. Okay, anyway, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. And that's an important thing. That's what Jesus continued to say, and that's what Paul says in his writings as well, and Peter and the others, James even. But then we get into the 15th chapter, and we have some interesting stories that Jesus was telling. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. Remember, he was in the home of a Pharisee. He was in the home of an invited guest. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Ever hear people muttering? People mutter when they don't like something, right? And they mutter. they try to keep you from hearing it. They'll just mutter to themselves. But that's what they were doing. They were muttering. The only problem was that Jesus understood exactly what they were muttering about. And he knew everything that they were trying to say. So he decided he'd tell them a story. Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." Now that's an important concept. All of us like the 23rd Psalm. And we like John that talks about the Good Shepherd. We hear about that. So here are 99 that are just safe. They're okay. So he leaves them to themselves and goes to find one. Reading a story recently about a sheep herder, and they had a pretty large territory for their sheep. They had one sheep that had twins. And quite often, if any of you know anything about raising sheep, is that sometimes the mother will ignore the second born. And that's what she did. So anyway, in that story, the second born of the twins was neglected by the mother sheep. So they had to bottle feed. It was about 2-3 weeks old and 2 months old, and the farmer was feeding it with a bottle to try to get it alive, was keeping it alive. And he loved that sheep. And he had to go visit his sister in another city because she was getting married. And so he had to make sure that someone was going to take care of that sheep and keep it alive. And that was an interesting story. That's exactly what Jesus was saying here. A lost sheep Jesus loves. And he wants to reach out to the people that are lost. And in the world, there are many, many lost sheep. Jesus reaches out to them, and when they become believers, there is great rejoicing. So, rejoice. You can imagine what he did. He brought it back, and the whole crowd was around. And rejoice with me, he's saying. The lost sheep. And then he climaxes this thought. He says, "I tell you that the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need." In other words, think about it. God loves each one of us. And when we were raised sinners, and we all were, when we found the Lord, we can count on the heavens rejoicing that we found the Lord. You think about that, and there are millions of people and hundreds just around us that don't know the Lord. We all have different situations that we're in with people, relationships and others, different venues in our life. And every once in a while, I look at the people around and I think, you guys need to know the Lord. I don't know how to reach them with that. And I pray that the Lord will. But the verse that we have that Robert puts up quite regularly is that we must tell them the truth, but with gentleness and respect if we have the opportunity. There are different opportunities that we have in life. If we're listening to the Lord, we may be able to take advantage of those in different circumstances, depending on what the situation is. But rejoicing. And then he gives them another illustration, the lost coin. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." Did you ever lose something? The other day, I had either taken off a shirt or something like that, got it all tangled up around my head, and I went out to the other room and was sitting in my chair, and all of a sudden I realized I didn't have a left hearing aid. I have an app on my phone that tells me what the battery life is on each of the earphones. And it kept searching for the left one, couldn't find it. So I reached up, it wasn't there. So I finally figured, "Lord, help me find this. You know, it's pretty small, it can easily be dropped. I put some garbage away, I could have thrown it in the garbage, I could have dropped it in the toilet or whatever. That would be the worst thing." So I looked at it and I thought, "Oh well, I remember pulling my shirt off over my head." And sure enough, there it was, laying on the floor right by where I'd taken my shirt off. And I was thanking the Lord just for that simple thing. Found my hearing aid. That doesn't do any good. I can't hear anyway, so what what difference does it make? Some of us have the problem. We can't see and we can't hear, and we're in bad shape. So anyway, the lost coin. And we all understand that. And for this person to have 10 coins, that was a major part of their living. You know, a 10th coin. But then he adds up this again. He says, "In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." I wonder what that's like. Revelation gives us a little bit of understanding about that, and talks about rejoicing in heaven. It talks about the singing that is up there. It talks about the 24 elders. It talks about the four living creatures, and they all bow down and worship and are singing and rejoicing. And then the angels, thousands and thousands of angels, are also rejoicing. I can't imagine what that is like. Some of us who have hearing problems, when you have loud things like that, at least for me, I can't understand what's being said because it's too loud and I can't understand the words. But I can understand the joy that is in it. And I can imagine what it must be like when the angels in heaven rejoice. Remember, the shepherds heard that when Jesus was born. And the angels rejoiced in heaven. And they rejoiced with the angels and said, "Let's go see what's going on." They said, "In the city of David, a Savior has been born." So they said, "Let's go see. Let's go see." You ever hear a bunch of noise and then you have to go see what it is? Jan's mother always liked to have a police radio. And she had to, if there was a fire or something else in Toledo or something, I think she'd talk your dad into taking her to see it, right? And Jan grew up with that. I, I think that's why she always has to have news on to see what's going on in order to figure out what's going on and so she can go see it. If there's sirens, where are they at? Let's go see. Anyway, rejoicing in heaven. Another illustration. This is really significant. The lost sons. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. And not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the paws that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything." Pretty tragic situation. And you know what our attitude is when we hear this? He got what he deserved. Payback. He deserved all of that. So we kind of chuckle and smile and say, you did something stupid and now you're paying the penalty. You did what was very evil and stupid. We think of the leadership in our lands. We think of, for instance, go back to the previous president, the Biden kids. All they do is practice evil. Unfortunately, they haven't lost everything. Maybe they'd learn something if they did. But all they do is want more. They want more. They want more. And you know, there's a problem with people always wanting more. Get themselves into trouble. That's how people get into problems with gambling. Had an article from Chuck Colson's group a couple of weeks ago about, is sports betting gambling? A couple of people were writing in that article, and the bottom line was that no matter what you call it, it's still gambling and it's still going to get you into trouble. You always want more. I can remember that as a kid. Ever go to the circus? And again, we had the county fair in Alma and the Grace Harbor County Fair. And there was always the carnival part. And there were people that were betting on this kind of a thing. And I can remember doing that as a kid. And I kept losing. One or more. So I asked my dad to give me a nickel or a quarter to do some more. Wanted to do more. Never did work, did it? You didn't win the stuffed toy or whatever it was that you were trying to get. Gambling can become an addiction. And that's what this article was saying. Didn't matter what you call it, whether it's sports or anything else, it still can get you into trouble. I don't know how many things you get on the internet all the time. Please do this and you'll get some money. Then you have people coming up, you want a job at home? You get a job at home and we can guarantee you $200 a day. Just sign up. Well, you sign up and they take your money and you don't get any. I think. I never did. And that's kind of what it is. So anyway, he was in trouble. He squandered everything that he had. And unfortunately, he wasn't getting anything back. Not even the food for pigs. So continuing the story, Jesus said when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he was coming to his senses. He realized that he had really blown it. He ruined his relationship to his father and to heaven. So he said, I'm willing to just be a servant because at least they have something to eat. And so he went to his father to ask permission. And he said, I have sinned. Said he saw a good... got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. When he realized it, and then he met his father. That's what he told him. He realized he was in dire straits. But, I always like the words but in Scripture. One of the chapters at Wheaton College that I went to, it was B. Raymond Edmond, and he had a book one time called But God. And he took a bunch of the situations that began with the word but, how God then changed the whole situation. So here we have it. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they begin to celebrate. What a tremendous turnaround for the son, because he repented of his sin. So the father rejoiced and said, let's have a feast. We all think of feasts this time of year, don't we? We think of Thanksgiving as a time to enjoy family, to have a large dinner. Any of you ever go hungry on Thanksgiving? I don't think anyone ever goes hungry on Thanksgiving, do they? We love feasts and family get-togethers, and this was going to be a tremendous time for his family. Because his son had returned. His father had given him everything that he inherited or would have inherited. But the son spent it foolishly. He was rebellious. The cost of rebellion is deadly. People today don't understand the cost of rebellion. But there is a cost, there is a penalty. And the son experienced, fortunately, this son was able to recognize his need and his dire circumstances. Did he sin? He ruined his inheritance, he ruined his family relationship, but he went back and asked forgiveness. The key is asking forgiveness. And that's part of all of life, asking forgiveness. All of us have sinned. We need to ask forgiveness. So anyway, they were going to celebrate. Continued the story. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what was going on? Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. Now we see the problem developing, don't we? He said, what's going on? Why? Father had rejoiced with the return of his son. And then the older brother became angry, refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But she answered his father, look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. I can understand the son's anger. He felt he was not being respected. He thought that the father did not respect him, but just used him for his own benefit. So in other words, he was jealous. He was jealous at his brother. And I'm sure that the brother that came back was the older brother. So anyway, he said, why are you doing this, Dad? He's ruined everything that you stood for. He took his half of his inheritance and spoiled every part of it. Lived a rebellious life. You haven't done anything like that for me. So you can hear the jealousy, can't you? The anger. And then the father said, my son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. So you can hear the story, can't you? You can hear the father. Even though the son was rebellious, it did the stupidest things, the evil things, the father never stopped loving him. I can remember my situation as a teenager. My brother was probably about 13 years older than me. He was somewhat rebellious. He'd gotten married, had some children, but was in a bad state. He came home. And I couldn't believe that Mom gave him a place to stay, the bedroom in our house. He was without a job, another situation at that time. But she loved him, even though he wasn't behaving properly. And she allowed him to stay in the home. And I can remember as a young kid, I was probably maybe just a preteen or a teen, wondering what in the world is this all about. But as the years got by, I understood her kind of love. He was still her son. He wasn't behaving properly. He wasn't acting normal. But she loved him anyway. And that, over the period of years, as I read this song, made me think of her and how the love never ends when you have a family member that gets into trouble even. My son, your brother, was lost, but now he's found. This is the third and the most dynamic of his parable about the lostness. He said he was lost. We had to celebrate. He was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. What a tremendous story. He was lost, but now he's found. Because that's what Jesus does for each of us.
It makes me wonder if that's where the song Amazing Grace came from.
It sure was part of it, wasn't it? Do you remember the story behind Amazing Grace? Yeah, the story behind Amazing Grace was this sea captain was a slaver. He had brought slaves into England to serve from other nations, from Africa and other places. And he realized plainly that that was evil. And so he wrote that song about how God forgave him for that evil that he was doing. And he turned around and began to set people free in his own country. And he started the deliverance of slaves for freedom, and how God had set him free. So there's a lot of that story behind that particular song, Amazing Grace. And isn't it interesting that all of our nation, whenever we have a major event, especially the death of a soldier or a police officer or anyone else, that song is played, Amazing Grace. Usually with bagpipers. Amazing Grace. And it's a remembrance of God's forgiveness and mercy that goes beyond. I've heard so many memorial services for police officers when they were killed by evil people. You know, I was talking about the last radio call, the non-answering. And then in the memorial service, they always have that song, Amazing Grace. Appropriate. So that's a good reminder. Thank you for reminding us of that. That Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. That's exactly what Jesus was saying here. A person who is lost that has been found, there is rejoicing in heaven when they have been found. So we want to thank the Lord for that. Remember that that knowledge gives us not only hope, but it gives us the desire to do what is right. So that's why I've chosen this song for a couple of weeks to be the end. When it's all been said and done, did we do what God wants us to do because we know the truth? Amazing Grace is a good thing. We could have had that as an end, couldn't have we? In order to help me and us to live in obedience to your word and follow your example and trust everything that you have said to us and live it acceptably in this world in our daily lives. Help us to do it better. None of us are perfect. We know that. But we remember who you are, that your love endures forever. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for being the God who loves. Help us to walk that way, that we know, even though we don't deserve your goodness in this life, in your joy, because that's what you give us. Be thankful. Thank you for this time of season when we can choose to be thankful for you and your great gift of love. In your name, Lord Jesus, walk with us now. Amen.